always enjoy the music. It's good to have Brother Ogdy with us this morning. Brother Ogdy started a church in Wills Point back in the dark ages. A long time ago. Was pastored there for 17 years. His son pastors that church now and has pastored it longer than, he's been there 20 years close. 18 years. And then was at Lakeland Baptist Church there for 12 years. And now been in evangelism for 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know. A while. How many?
We're starting the eighth year.
Eighth year. Time flies when you're having fun. And Brother Ogdy, let's see. Lots of other things I could say. He taught me in Bible college. That tells you how old he is. No, he taught me ecclesiology. And I'm telling you, the notebook is this thick. I still have the notebook and have used it. And Brother Ogden has been a blessing over the years, a blessing to me, my family, and to this church, and been very kind to us. Brother Ogden, you come on and preach for us. And appreciate you very, very much.
Thank you, Preacher. Brother Crawford, love you, appreciate you. Well, amen. Good to see you this morning. Happy Father's Day. I is one. And heard from all my sons and families. Some of them came in, others called, And it's amazing on Father's Day, it's supposed to be for fathers, and usually the fathers end up paying for everything. You ever notice that? And I guess that's being a good father and good grandfather. My wife, Elizabeth, shake your hand there, dear. Wave your hand so everybody can see. And still looks like she did when I married her. Amen. And a little grayer, but still the same lady, and thank God for that. Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. And turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And then find, if you will, quickly, Ezekiel 22. And preacher, thank you again for the opportunity. I appreciate it. Where'd Brother Wiggins go? There he is right there. I'll never forget meeting the Wiggins long before they ever got married. And they was in Floridia there. Florida Century Baptist Church. Is that what it was back then? Faith Baptist Church. Century, Florida. That's what it was. They've come a long way, and I taught him how to sing back then, and he's doing really a super job with that, and so I appreciate that. I got some friends here. I got relatives here. Brother Day, where are you at? Is he still in church? He's way back to back there. We used to have family time together every year. They'd have a time to get together. You know how you had the reunions and stuff, so we enjoyed that as well. Anyways, in the Bible, we don't have a lot of time this morning. I don't want to waste your time. I want to be a blessing to you. And so there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and so many on Father's Day, sometimes I don't like 30 years of pastoring to just preach on fathers and mothers, but I think today we're going to approach it in that manner, but in a little different way possibly than maybe you're used to on a Father's Day. I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. I don't know whether you stand or not, but if you would, if you can, if you'll stand with us out of love, respect for the Word of God as we read here, if you'll just follow with me here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, just one verse here. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Father in heaven, Lord, please help me this morning to be a blessing to the church here, to the visitors that are here, to every dad, every mom, every son, every daughter. And Lord, certainly to those that are here today that are struggling in their lives. Lord, maybe they're not living like they should, and you're going to speak to them today and help them tremendously. Then there are others today, Father, if they were to die right now, they don't know that they're ready for heaven. They don't know the Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, out of this service today, that's the main thing, that people get saved, people get born again. Know that they have a home in heaven forevermore. And so, Lord, please have your will and way in every life, every ear, every heart, and on this platform, this preacher. I pray, ask it all in Jesus' name. And for his sake only we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, if you found your place over there in Ezekiel, I want to read to you a very familiar passage of Scripture there as well, and then we'll get right into the message. Ezekiel chapter 22, if you look for verse 30 there, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." I want to talk to you on this subject this morning, preach to you a little while on this subject, if you will. We need men. And I want you to listen to me today. I'm not against anybody. I'm for everybody. I want everybody to be saved. I want every Christian to live for God in the right way. I see all the young men. I've seen them. I was so blessed to be able to look over there, see all them gathered together over here. But you know, in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Paul commanded the Christian men in there to act like men, if you will, to take the place that God had created them to fill. That phrase, quit ye like men, also means to be, listen now, brave and courageous as men in a world that didn't want God. Gentlemen, if you will, we need gentlemen. We need men in this world to stand up according to the Word of God and to the plan of God in their lives, not only for their wife and their children, but for everyone they come in contact with. I like Ezekiel 22 because God puts it right on the mark there. He's looking for one man. You know the story, you've heard it preached. And he couldn't find one, preacher, not one. And so he ended up having to do what he said he would destroy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our land's in trouble. Our world's in trouble. Our government's in trouble. And the thing about it is we're going to have men and women for that matter. And I'll not leave the ladies out, but we need men that'll stand up and be a man. By the way, if you have trouble with what kind of a man or a person you are, look on your birth certificate. Amen. The Marines have a challenge set forth to some men. They're looking for a few good men. And our nation needs a multitude of good, honorable, godly men in this day and age in which we live. And maybe you're one here today, but we can always find places that we need to take and, if you will, sharpen in our heart and our lives for the Lord. Look at Psalm 127. Let me go ahead and read some scripture to you and then move on in the message. Psalm 127. And here's what God created us for. Listen to it very carefully. Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh, but in vain. Drop down to verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His. Now listen to it. Reward. I see where the Biddles have a new addition to their family. Chad. Boy, he finally did something well. Amen. And where you at, Chad? There he is. Boy, I'm telling you, did it really well. And now he's got to be the father that he's expected to be. But the Bible says the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man. Listen. That hath his quiver full. And by the way, I challenged a guy one time. He's got 13 kids. And I said, a quiver, it kind of holds arrows too, you know. And I said, I don't think I've ever went bow hunting with more than 3 or 4 arrows in my quiver. So somewhere along the line, I guess they got a new interpretation of Scripture. I don't know. But it says here, hath their quiver full, then watch, shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. God is looking for godly men, no doubt about it. If you're here today and you're born again, you're a child of God and you're a man, God's looking for you to be everything that He placed in this book for you to be. He wants you to be a godly father. No doubt about that. I'll get a little bit farther than that in a moment. He wants you to be godly husbands, and it's laid out how we're to be. By the way, He wants you to be godly bachelors. Are y'all listening to me? We've got a world that is like a vacuum that is, if you will, sucking up our young men and our young ladies in this world, taking them down a avenue or a trail that's unbecoming to God and doesn't honor God. And you're no different. I pastored for 30 years and was a youth pastor for 3.5 years prior to that. I know all about what the devil does out there. And by the way, I know you're a preacher, but there's some preachers out there aren't preaching this stuff anymore. They're laying it on the line. They've, you know, instead of a cross on the platform or whatever, they got a big globe that circles around the platform. And they got all kinds of other things going on. God's looking for godly bachelors, if you will, living the right kind of life when you're unmarried, when you're single. And ladies, by the way, your life too. Now, can I just say this quick? America has 50% plus divorce rate today. What's amazing is that the churches, and I'm talking about all kinds of churches, is 51.3%. There's something wrong with that figure. That we have more divorces in our churches than we do in the world, and the world is a cesspool of sin. Homosexuality is viewed by many as an alternative lifestyle.
Transgenders come into being. The liberal media, the entertainment industry, the Hollywood crowd is same. It's not changed in years. Not changed. And can I say this? God hadn't changed either. There's male and female, period. And that's all there is to it. Now, we need some men, a few good men, if you will, to stand up and say enough's enough. Enough's enough in the home. Enough's enough at church. Enough's enough. And by the way, you can do a lot of things if you go to the voter's box and box or vote like you should. Amen. We have been wickedly aborting or murdering children for years, since 1973. And the latest figure I have was somewhere around 75, 80 million. Think about it. Now you can murder a child after it's born. This is where we are today. And we need to be the kind of men that we, listen to me, that we should be in the home. They need to know these things. They need to be taught these things. They need to be warned about things like this. We're in a country that's becoming academically and morally corrupt and bankrupt, if you will. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the way to live. But the Bible and prayer are our answer. And the Bible and prayer, we know for years, has been thrown out of the classroom. But I did see where they are bringing it back to some classrooms. Hear me now, in the state of Texas. Amen. Good things happen in Texas. But remember, men, that your influence goes a long way. I had a message I preached years ago, and I just clipped it out real here, and I'm not going to preach, but I want you to listen to me. I like living a life where there's no regrets, if you will. And the thing about it is, a regret is usually when you've done something you wish you hadn't done and you regret it. Is everybody with me? So this little message was, if I only had valued relationships, if I'd have thought about things prior to, if you will, and not made that stupid mistake or that dumb mistake or whatever you want to call it. The other point I had is if I'd only been spiritually transparent before my children. Now let's get into thinking about something here. And that is, men, we're the head of the home. Now, there are two amens there. Men, we are the head of the home. Listen to me. Whether anybody likes it or not, and I'm not this man on women, women on man, but I'm telling you that God sets you to be the leader in the home. He sets you to be the biblical leader in the home. He sets you to be the practical leader in the home. He sets you to be the moral leader in the home. And how's that going today? Maybe in your life, maybe right now it's going well, but maybe it's not. Maybe God's speaking to one man and one woman or one relationship today, one family, one married couple, one family that has several children. I don't know, but hear me today. I know this as a pastor for many years and not that many back since I went into evangelism. In evangelism, knowing the troubles and problems out there, that our churches have issues in the family. If only I had been spiritually transparent before my children. Listen to me carefully. We need to learn how to speak with our kids. Learn how to talk with them. I love my boys. I got three sons. I've got three wonderful daughter-in-laws. One really special because she makes me that pecan pie. And she's good at it. Amen. And then I've got 9 grandchildren, and I've got, let's see now, help me out. I've got, yeah, I do. I've got 3 grandsons and 6 granddaughters. Finally got some granddaughters in the bunch. Got 3 of them off to Bible college right now. 2 of them at Commonwealth. 1 at Crown, fixing to go to Crown in the fall and in college. And why do you tell me that? I'd like to think I did something right. And I'm not talking about me, but I did something right in raising my children. Now pay attention to this. In 1953, my daddy was born again. He was born again in a fundamental independent Baptist church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, right outside of Detroit and Dearborn Heights, where my daddy grew up and where we have a lot of family even to this day. My mom and daddy, Brother Wiggins, I remember my daddy when the church had just started. They got into it about a year later. And I can remember my daddy in that day, hang on, man, shouting amen. Shouting glory to God, saying, that's right, preacher, preach it on, just keep going. And our churches are becoming silent today. And if our churches are becoming silent, most likely our homes spiritually are becoming silent as well. And our country's in a mess. We got to go back. We got to go back to where it began. I can remember my daddy would say with me. I can remember my mom took the job as a church secretary, their first secretary they ever had. I remember mama singing in the choir, daddy teaching my class as a little boy. I remember them talking to me about salvation. I don't remember a lot about it, but they said I got saved when I was between 5 and 6 years old. They baptized me. The preacher at 80 years old sent me the material here a while back to show me that I was baptized. But you know what? I never knew that. I never got that part right. And in my church in Grand Prairie, Texas, there with Tom Heath, was my pastor, I remember going to him on a Wednesday night. I let out all the Awana kids off my bus. Had 45 kids that night. Let them off the bus, walked straight down the stairs into the preacher's office right behind the auditorium and said, "Preacher, I don't know what to tell you," said, "but I don't think I'm saved." My name growing up, and Bubba's here, he knows, was Buster. All right? You can call me that if you want. I still like that. But he said, "Buster," he said, "well, you know what to do, don't you?" I said, "Preacher, I not only know what to do, I can quote Romans Road, I can quote 1 John 5, verse 13, eternal security, all that. But hey, Brother Wheaton, I got born again that night. As a youth pastor, teaching a high school boys class, got born again." I said that to say this. My mom and daddy got out of church. They came back to Texas, and when they got back to Texas, daddy had to take a job and working on weekend. They just got out. They turned to the honky-tonks. They turned to the dancing. They turned to the drinking and all the other stuff. So they got far away from God, got far away from church. Are y'all listening? Don't tell me you won't go there. My daddy and my mama were sold out to God in that day. There was no question about what Bible to use. The only one they had was the King James Bible. No question about how to live because holiness was the key. It goes to show you how the devil works. And he got my parents out of church and so forth. And then I became a rebellious kid and a rebellious teenager. Wonder why that is. Because there wasn't a man in the home, a godly man in the home, an example in the home, the Bible being read in the home, prayer in the home, talking to the children about why they shouldn't go here, they shouldn't do that, they shouldn't partake of this, shouldn't partake of that, instead of always hollering at them. My Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. Everybody remember that in Ephesians chapter 6? I remember one day my dad just had enough and I'd gotten in my mama's face and she said, "I'm going to tell your daddy." Well, I pretty much knew what that meant. And so daddy come home and daddy didn't say a word. He just walked up to me and went, boom, hit me right here. Knocked me into my mom's antique cabinet there, which didn't go well either. And so forth. That was daddy's way of doing it. Now, I'm not against punishment. I'm not against taking a belt or a board, for that matter, and whooping somebody. My kids ask them. They've all had a few of those. But here's the thing. That's the only way my dad knew how to communicate after he got out of church, after he left fellowship with God. How many of you know who Dr. Gary Way is? Gary Way says this all the time. He says, "I won my kids' hearts." He said, "How important is that? Read the Bible." He won his kids' hearts. And so when he began to relate to them things, they were pretty much like a sponge and picked up on it. And they're serving God today. Brother Richard's a pastor there in Houma, Louisiana. And the daughter is in Trinity Baptist in Arlington and serves in the Christian school there and teaches in there and so forth. It makes a difference when there's a godly man present in the home that'll speak up and be the leader. Mama doesn't need to be the leader. God didn't create mom to be the leader in that way. I'm not against ladies having a partner. My wife and I work really well together. We just celebrated 48 years of marriage, June 5th. I think we're going to stick it out. Amen? 48 years, met 51 years ago, best thing that ever happened to her. No, best thing that ever happened to me was that lady right there. Except salvation, of course. All the way down the road. I ran with people, and I don't want to go into all that. People I shouldn't have run with, did things I shouldn't have done. And mom and dad are still out of church. And by the way, I don't need Dr. Phil, and I don't need Oprah Winfrey to help me out. What I needed was Jesus. Amen. And boy, when I got him and really got him on that Wednesday night in my preacher's office, it was all said and done. Less than 6 months later, God called me to preach. I'd always wanted to preach. I wanted to be Jimmy Swaggart's what I wanted to be. Hey, he sings good. That's where you got your style, I know. Jimmy Swaggart sings good. Come on now. And I didn't know anything about doctrine back then, but buddy, he sure sounded good. I used to make lariat ropes, professional ropes for cowboys. And I'd made lariat rope, pig and string, all that. And I'd get on that cart and run that. And I'd make the ropes the way they wanted to. And I'd listen to Jimmy Swaggart. I had that radio on there. And I'd work till 5 o'clock in the morning, get off, go home and shower, go to Bible college. Singing Jimmy Swaggart's music. Amen? That didn't set real well in that fundamental independent Baptist college. They knew who it was. See, they've been listening too. They just didn't admit to it. Amen. You know, I've got some regrets, but I don't want any more. Maybe you don't have as many, or maybe you have some, and you can leave them at the foot of Calvary where the blood of Jesus is. Blood covers everything. But before you leave here today, make sure you got it together. Make sure you got it right, men. Ladies, I don't know your life. Mother's Day always comes around. That's why I said Mother's Day, Father's Day. But there's other things. And this includes mothers, too. I know you're not supposed to be the head of the home, but you're the leader. I mean, you're there day in and day out, week in and week out. My wife's probably the best mother that I know. And them boys are rotten. I mean, they're hunters, they're fishers, they're tough and all that other stuff, but they're babies when they're around their mama. And by the way, it's the way it ought to be. They ought to be able to come to mama, you know, and mama listens to them. Sickening. They don't do that, we're out hunting. And I'm kind of glad. I don't really care. I like my kids. I got one grandson that kind of hangs on me. I asked him one day, I said, "You gay?" You said you did, and I said I did, but I didn't mean it. But don't hang on me. My granddaughters can hang all over me all they want to. God's looking for some good men, few good men. I mentioned as a bachelor, let me give you this and I'll be done. Be an example to other Christians as a single man. Be an example to other single men. Ladies, be an example to other single women, women on women. Be an example. Be a holy example. Be a clean example. Be a moral example. Be a biblical example. Be one who, our lesson this morning, Brother Clark, what a wonderful Sunday school class. He paid me to come in, and I'm glad that I paid him. I mean, it was a good lesson, amen. Next door was trying to pay me to get in over there, but I was looking for coffee. If I had coffee, I'd have went in any classroom. Paul gave Timothy a charge to be that kind of man, that kind of bachelor, if you will. Paul himself taught himself, God taught him, and he became that. He would not even touch a woman as a single man. And you know what that does? That frees you up to be all you can be for God. And you can use that freedom for the Lord Jesus Christ. Single man should utilize what God gives him and keep it clean and keep it pure and use that energy for the Lord that he doesn't have to regret, doesn't have to go back and say, I wish I had not done that. But then not only as a bachelor, man, listen to me, as a husband. You know what the Bible says? Husbands are charged to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And I don't know, that may be right in your home, it might be that way every day, but I have a feeling that it's not always the way it should be, but it ought to be. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and the Bible said gave himself for it, if you will. We're to love our wives as we love our own bodies. And I don't know about you, but when I used to go to camp and carry my kid, it was the boys that were taking more time combing their hair than it was the girls. You know? Now, I'm not that. Most of you got good short hair, and I'm glad to see that. But the thing about it is, we are, hear me now, we're to take care of our bodies. We're to take care of our minds. We're to take care of our health, et cetera, et cetera. And a real man, a genuine man, a godly man is one who is considerate and seeks to exalt not himself but others. And as a husband, you and I are to be examples to our children. As a father, we're to teach our children. And fathers have the duty to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord. God expected it of Abraham. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 18 quickly. Genesis chapter 18. Let me just give you a couple of verses here. Look at Look at verse 18, chapter 18, Genesis 18, 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. By the way, God knows me, God knows you. He said, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Another word, honoring God, God honors him. Go over to another more powerful here than this one that I think. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at it with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can't read the whole chapter here, and it's worth reading, but just look down at verse 4, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. By the way, that's the answer to good Christian living right there. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Watch, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And you can read on and on there. In other words, gentlemen, it's our responsibility to train the children up. Years ago, I had a lady by the name of Nancy Benner, Percy and Nancy Benner. Percy and Nancy Benner were great soul winners. They joined the church in Wills Point. They were a deacon for Brother Hiles, yes, when he was at Miller Road many, many moons ago. And they were taught how to go soul winning, how to be good Christian people. And I remember her coming out one day, and she had her Bible open after services, and she came out. And I go ahead, if you will, and take your Bible and turn to Proverbs with me. Let me show you what she did. It's amazing what she wanted to know. And I think it would be all right for us to know that too. While I'm thinking about that, what she wanted to know is, the Bible talks about, I'm running out of time, but the Bible talks about when he is old, shall he return to the Lord or whatever. I can't remember the scripture, went blank. But anyhow, what she's saying is that verse true? Yeah, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, will not depart from it. And so forth, running ahead of my, trying to get, stay in the time here. But the thing about it is, she walked out and she said, preacher, what do you think that verse means? And I read it and she knew it, and I said, well, it means what it says. Amen. And she said, well, does it really mean what it says? She said, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They used to be in Garland, in a good church there, good pastor there, and worked there and involved in that. And the kid got in trouble in Christian school and he left home. Long story. And he had not come back after years. And she's brokenhearted. And she said, preacher, is that verse true? Does it mean what it says? And I said, the Word of God means what it says. You know what they were? There was a godly daddy and a godly mommy concerned about their son who had gone. I said that to say this. You can be the godliest daddy, godliest mama you could ever be. And your kid can still make a choice to go a different direction. Went back to my family. I went a different direction. When I did, it wasn't good. And I met her. And she taught me how to love. Not physically, but just what love was. No sexual stuff, nothing like that. I hadn't heard that in a long time, family being out of church. So you kids got family in church, you ought to be grateful.
Amen.
You ought to obey. You ought to do all the things you're supposed to do. With that said, I joined the military. Long story cut short. Swore in Dallas. Ended up going off to Vietnam. I came back and I was a drunkard. You know, you hear all the stories. I'm not going. But I wasn't right. So we thought church is the answer. Let's get into church. And by the way, getting into church, good. If you're here today and you're just in church, that's good. But it wasn't until we got that. I got saved on that Wednesday night. She got saved the following Tuesday. Pulled my preacher and his son off the roof of his home, and he come down, went in the house with his wife there, and led her to the Lord, and nothing's ever been the same. I have three sons, as I said. One pastor's in Tyler, Texas. One pastor of the church in Wills Point, your preacher talked about earlier. The other's on staff at Dr. Gene Wolfenbarger's church out in Joshua Baptist Church. You say, you're bragging? Absolutely. Somewhere, Daddy had to change the way my family thought, way my family went. My daddy and mama went a different direction. Are y'all with me? It had to be broken somewhere.
Amen.
I am so glad that God got a hold of my heart through my preacher's preaching. And God reached down and says, we're going to break that right here. Somebody said, well, why are your kids in pastoring? Why are you kids? Had nothing to do with me necessarily or my wife necessarily, but it has all to do with God. But it has God to do with working through me to be a genuine man who loves his kids, who takes care of his kids, who teaches his kids, and a godly mama that does the same. That's how God works. So it's not just about Father's Day, even though it's Father's Day, and we ought to be genuine men unto God. What do you mean? Well, just being right with God. You're here today, you know your own personal life, you know inside as a child of God where you are. Are you living in sin? Is there things in there that need to be cleaned up? I'm not going to preach things your preacher would preach to you this morning. I'm just telling you right now, I know after all the years of ministry, there are people in our church that appear to be well, but things are not so well. If they're not, this altar ought to be where you get here in just a few minutes. You ought to get to this altar and you ought to deal with whatever's in your life and get it out. It may be hatred. It may be unforgiveness. All different things. It may be just right out sin. I know I love social media. I didn't used to like social media, but I'm enjoying it today. I get to see all the fish you catch. Amen? Do you ever work? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I always try to help people out best I can. Amen. But I'm glad God broke that on our family. You know, I remember this little quote said, I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have, but I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish ere my working time was through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad. For I know I've been successful as that little fellow's dad. I thought about that and I thought about this I've had now for, I don't know, 20-something years, and I found it. I don't want to leave the girls out. This is a story about a little girl who on the way home from church turned to her mother and said, Mommy, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me. The mother said, oh, why is that? The girl replied, well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true? Yes, that's true, the mother replied. He also said that God lives within us. Is that true? And again, the mother replied to the little daughter, little girl, yes. Well, said the girl, if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, why doesn't he show through? Does Christ show through your life? Does God show through your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationship to your children? Does Christ show through your life on your job, at school, at college? It's real easy, preacher, to be a Christian in church. Boy, good singing, good teaching. Boy, if you don't have a Sunday school class to go to, and you can go to Brother Clark's, you'll learn something in there. But we learned about what sin does. We also learned about God's Word. We learned about what not to do, and that's church. But we ought to put it to practice in our everyday life. And if you're married, that's in your marriage. That's in your home. If you got kids, or if you're like us, and it's so good to not wake up to vomit or the smell of something in the children's room, or so good to wake up and ain't nobody but me and mama. And then when the grandkids come, I love for them to come, but hey, it's been 30 minutes. Finished story. It's 12 o'clock. Look up here. Mom and Daddy got back in church. My daddy. Mom and daddy got back. He lived out in Palo Pinto County, out near Lake Palo Pinto. He helped start a fundamental independent Baptist church prior to him dying of cancer. And all he really did was just lay the groundwork, tractor work, plumbing, everything, put a slab on. One of my preacher boys out of my church in Wills Point was the first pastor there. Mom and daddy got back right with God. I don't know. But I remember my daddy right before he died said to me, he said, son, he said, I never told you this story. He died in 83, 1 month before his 54th birthday, preacher. He said, I've never told you this story. He said, while I was at the church there in Michigan, God called me to preach. When I went back to Texas, the pastor pulled him to the side and said, Carl Sr. was him. He said, I want you to go back, go to Fort Worth and enroll in Dr. Norris' school. I said earlier, Daddy took a job, had to work, make a living. He got away from God. Mama got away from God, ran with my aunt and uncle, honky-tonks, whole 9 yards. He never went. My dad was dying of cancer, and I graduated from Arlington Baptist College back when it was somewhat put together. When I did, they brought my daddy in a van because he couldn't walk in a wheelchair, and he got to come in. And I know this doesn't sound like much to you, but I got to take the tassel off my hat and hand it to my daddy. And I said, Daddy, you didn't go, but I did. And I think that's when God began to turn my mom and daddy, and they say, I know they're trying to start a church out there. And then long after that, God took my daddy. I'm 68 years old. I've lived a lot longer than my daddy lived. But I'm telling you, what I've talked about just kind of through the Word and just kind of talking to you, it works. It works. You're having issues in your home. You're having issues in your marriage. You're having issues in your family. Get with your preacher. Get with your preacher's wife if it's ladies that need somebody. Get with them. Don't just keep putting it off. Get with them. Get with God, no doubt. But get with them. But all has changed, listen, when I got born again. When I decided I'm not just teaching a class, I'm not just going to go to church, something's not right here, and I need to be saved. And I got saved, and I'm still saved. Are you saved? I don't care what you've done in your background. You don't even want to hear what I've done. But I know this, Christ is real. The blood is still effective. And if you'll come today and just humbly bow before Him, somebody will pray with you. And you can walk out of here saved and you know it. You don't ever have to doubt it again. Ever. I've never doubted it since that night. Ever. But prior to that, when the preacher said, how many of you are saved? Slip your hand up as a testimony. It was hard to do that because I knew I was not sure. I don't know that I was lying, even though I was. I just knew I wasn't sure. But buddy, today, over here, I know that I know that I know. Do you know? You say, well, I need to know. Well, here's your day. Wouldn't it be good to get saved on Father's Day? You'd make the Father, the Heavenly Father, really happy. And His Son, Jesus Christ. Then if you're here today and you're a child of God, don't tell me everything's okay. I'm a preacher of the gospel, and it's not always okay. You have a mind. You have the flesh. Paul had the flesh. Are y'all with me? Bound to be something that you can come. I'm not looking for an altar call. I'm not looking for people up here. I'm looking for you just to be right with God the Father. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Can you do that? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. As the musicians are making their way, let me ask a couple of questions of you. You're here this morning and God spoke to your heart about one matter or another and we kind of went different areas. But you're here today and this is the main question. You're here today, you know that you know you're saved. If you died right now, you know that you'd go to heaven. No doubts. I know that if I died there, I'd go to heaven. If you know that, would you testify to that by just slipping a hand up high? Slip it up high. Don't be ashamed of it. Slip it up high. God bless you. Keep them up. I'm looking. All right, put them down. Quickly. Same people just raised your hand and said you were saved and born again. Did God speak to you about anything individual that maybe you need to deal with today? If God spoke to your heart, not talking about your wife, your husband, neighbor, you. If God spoke to your heart this morning about one thing or another, would you just slip your hand back up? Just slip it back up, yeah, all over the auditorium. Let's all stand, everybody standing. Father in heaven, would you just bless today as only you know how to do. God, thank you for the honor and privilege of taking the word and experience and life and sharing it with the people of God here. Have your will and way in this invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come today?